And you have to do market research. You have to understand if there is a fit, if there is a need for whatever you want to do. If you want to be a painter, okay, check what's happening around you. Check if you are going to be a painter. You have to be first the best painter at your niche. Say, find the niche, correct. Get rich.
Correct. Simo, you're going to talk about a little bit your background and your studies, but I know you're a very technical guy. I mean, in terms of studies, you're engineering, IT, etc. I have a first question coming to my mind is, are we born with this in our DNA to be a technical guy? Or is something suddenly you discovered and you liked it, you know, because there's so many creative people and technical. I mean, how come you take that direction?
Well, I think I was somehow molded this way because, funny enough, my mother had a computer hardware company back in the late 90s.
Oh, okay.
So I was born in a computer. I was born in a motherboard, which actually led me. I've always been more like a business guy. Yeah. I did some small businesses when I was 10 or 11.
Yeah.
But my parents were always pushing me towards technical studies and pushing me towards engineering, even though I understood it, I liked it, but I preferred business. And their idea was like, listen to me. You can be a technical guy and then a business guy, but when you become a business guy, it's difficult to become a technical guy. So that's why I chose to do it this way.
Oh, yeah, makes sense. But yeah, but you're an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, I mean, entrepreneurship is about creativity.
Sure.
Because you have to create a demand or create a new solution for an existing demand.
Sure.
So how do you deal with that? I mean, is the creative more challenging for you in your career than the technical aspects?
It is not. The thing is that, like I said, at 10, I was selling smartphones to my golf buddies.
Okay. And you start everything very early.
Yeah, I started very early. The thing is that I think it's also in some kind of my DNA. My mother is an entrepreneur. My dad is an entrepreneur. My grandparents are entrepreneurs. So I think it runs in the family.
Yeah.
And I just completed my entrepreneurship spirit that I had since I was a kid. I added that technical layer. That made me this combo that just works. And there is no secret. I'm reading a lot. I read a lot about what's happening around the world, what's happening not only in tech, but in politics, etc., just to understand everything that is happening and to try to be on top of the wave. Because if the wave is already there, you're already too late.
So the best call is being curious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's interesting what you say, you know, and what your mom said, actually. It's like, get those cards in the hands, the technical things, because after, you have full time to be creative and to run your business. After we'll talk about all your business, etc., but what's your look on today's reality of entrepreneurs' world? Because there are more and more entrepreneurs. I mean, at the time, it was because you were failing in school that you become an entrepreneur. Now it's a choice. But there are so many young people entrepreneurs today. Is that good? Is that a good sign for the market? Or?
Sure. Well, you know,
honestly,
too many is not good. Not enough is not good either. So I think what's happening today is that people are trying to fulfill their dreams.
Yeah.
And because they might not have the background. So for me, for instance, I started as an engineer. I worked for a large corporation, Ernst & Young, for several years. I worked with big companies, Tesla, Société Générale, Total, etc. So I think that this laid the foundations of the entrepreneur I am today. Because when I speak with a company, when I speak with someone, I have legitimacy.
Yeah.
And this, you can't earn it just because you're out there just trying to do things. And I think that also working with large corporations gives you some kind of, methodology and a way of work that is extremely important. It doesn't mean that if you're not out of a big school or if you haven't worked for a big company, you're not gonna succeed. Of course you are. But you need to be even more curious. You need to read even more than the others.
Yeah.
And the thing is that people might not know it. 98% of entrepreneurship projects fail after 3 years.
That's true.
People think that just they have an idea. Yeah. Most of them don't do even a market research to understand if there is an actual market. Because maybe there is, when there is no competitors, Either you're Elon Musk, which is not going to be the case 99.9% of the time, or there is no market for what you're trying to do.
Yeah. So do you think there's kind of a lack of, maybe the word's too strong, but there's kind of a lack of humility in today's entrepreneurship mindset, or give it before trying? You have to give something, and that's probably in the big corporation, the kind of a big force you've been working in. Okay, sometimes it's kind of boring on some aspects, to tell the truth, but you learn so much. And you know what you learn is already to listen and to follow the rules.
Absolutely.
So
not only that, is that as an entrepreneur, you don't have a boss, but you are your own boss. It's worse. It means if you want to wake up in the morning, it's up to you. It's not up to nobody else. When you work for a company, it's up to you. It's not up to you, it's up to them, because they set the rules. Yeah. So if you're not able to structure yourself in order to wake up in the morning, to sit in front of your laptop, to start working, because building excuses not to work is the easiest thing to do.
That's very easy. Yeah.
And if you don't put together a routine that wakes you up in the morning, gets you working at least 6-7 hours a day, you can't succeed. You could be lucky. So I saw guys who made millions out of Shiba Inu. Okay, because somebody told them about it, they bought it, and then they made money. But this is luck. It's like winning the lottery. Just very few people actually do that. So
it's interesting. What's your I'm getting out of the topic today, but I don't care. It's my show.
Sure, absolutely. I am your guest. So go ahead.
No, I'm kidding. Just want to say, you said, you know, you can be lucky and make a lot of money on one shot. That's true. And do you think that it's harder and harder today to make a lot of money selling a service or a product? You know, making the effort in that, because I see a lot of people getting rich, like finding a solution to bring a little bit of money, you know, like average, take this money and then invest it in other people's business and make money there. What's the ratio in that, you know, what's your view on that?
Well, the thing is, I strongly believe, and this is not me saying it, it's Warren Buffett. So I like Warren Buffett. I like some of what Warren Buffett says, but he always invests. Don't put your eggs in the same basket. Mm-hmm. That's a very simple thing.
Yeah.
He invests in big family companies because they are family owned, because they've been here for a while, etc. For us, we can do that because basically you're not going to make much out of that. But the strategy is there. Mm-hmm. The strategy is that you should have multiple sources of income. Passive income is extremely important. Why? Because if everything relies on you, you're sick for a week, you're not making money. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So people who are selling only their own, for example, person, their own intellectual property, doesn't really work on the long run. So I strongly believe that it is important.
Oh, you mean like infopreneurs or influencers? Those
exactly. Kind of especially now, you're seeing with AI, there's going to be a tsunami of content arriving, free of cost, created in 2 minutes. So people need to understand how to shift. And that's important. Look at Nokia. They didn't do the shift. They didn't take the shift of the smartphone because they're like, we're number one in the world. Why would we create a smartphone? We have our dumb phones. They work really well. Everybody's buying them. In 5 years, they went from number one worldwide to one of the worst telecommunication, when I say about phones.
Yeah, just like Blockbusters, the same thing.
Exactly, BlackBerry.
Yeah, no, I'm a Blockbuster in terms of movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what's happening now, so the shift that's in the internet brought in the 2000s, you can find articles about the internet in the 2000s where it was saying, oh, it's only a fluke in a year or so. People are not using this internet anymore. It's not interesting, blah, 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 blah.
It
took everything by storm. The smartphone era took everything by storm. That's why we all have smartphones today.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen with AI, etc., is going to take our lives by storm. But we need to be prepared because some entrepreneurs are most probably betting on the wrong horse because they're not curious enough.
Yeah.
Because they want to launch businesses that work maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, I saw that guy from my neighborhood. He's making millions doing drop shipping. Yeah, maybe 10 years ago it was working. Today,
I'm
not so sure about that.
Yeah, but it's interesting. But you said to be aware of technology arriving and to take that in consideration. But, you know, like 15 years ago, because, you know, I'm not that young anymore. But 15 years ago when technology was like on my smartphone, I can do a picture. Wow. I mean, people, older people could get it. Okay, it's not so hard to understand. You're okay in terms of technology advance.
Absolutely.
Now we're talking about NFT, about crypto, about blockchain. And I have to I mean, if you look at the reality, there's like probably 70% of people not able on the planet, I mean, on the developed planet, able to give an understandable and simple definition of those kind of terms.
I would say 96%, 97%. Okay, okay.
But that's a drama because it's like a huge generation lost in that.
Absolutely.
Lost in translation here.
But what's happening is that lost in translation, yes and no. So let's take the example of the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
The machines arrived and people were doing everything by hand. Yeah. But the machines, when they arrived, what happened? It created new jobs. At the time, like in the, I'd say, 19th, 20th century, before the phones, you know, you had the girls working in offices, like plugging, you know, like
phone central,
etc. They don't exist anymore because we had lines. But we need personal assistants and we need other kinds of jobs. So I think the generations that are going to be impacted by that are the older generation, I'll say after 55, around 60, that are closer to retirement.
Yeah.
Those people are going to be impacted. And I think even the 50, 55 will be more because they still have 5 to 10 years in the, actually, of the work environment, more. If they're not up to date with everything, because I see it, for example, with investors that I have in my projects, etc. Sometimes I speak with them and I explain to them, they're like, Habibi, I don't understand. What is this exactly? What is it about? What does it do? So my advice is read.
Yeah.
Learn.
Stay connected.
Even if you're 60. Yeah. My dad is 70 and he asks me, please, Simo, tell me, what is this? What is that? Yeah. And I explain to him in a simple way because I want him just to, he doesn't need it. But some people do. Some people at 50, 55. I see some people even my age are totally disconnected. And when
But is the technology going in a direction that is so complicated to really... I mean, we're not all the same.
No.
Let's face it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some people with some intellectual level, others with lower level, but higher soul, or I don't know. But so not everyone can really get it.
I think everyone can get it.
You think?
If you do your own research. So doing your own research.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I give you an example. Yeah. A guy who used to work for my dad was an architect. So zero understanding of the technical background of computer science. He, and I'm talking about early 2000s, the guy was reading magazines and books about computer science and computers all day.
Yeah.
He became so good at it after two years.
So you mean it's easier to not understand.
Of course.
And to say it's too complicated.
That's the easy way out.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to train. I want to lose weight, but I don't want to train.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You don't train, you're not going to lose weight. Yeah. Or if you don't eat properly, you're not going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to be a boxer, you have to box.
Mm.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You can learn. I think the human brain, and it has been proven that there is, maybe somebody has maybe a slightly higher IQ, but it doesn't mean anything.
Mm.
If you're putting your efforts into that,
I agree. Yeah.
You can achieve it.
Yeah. Are we some difficult question I'm asking you today.
Of course. No.
Are we, because I understand, I love to have your answers because you come from this technical environment. With all this evolution, are we losing something? Very open question, huh?
See, that's why I just wrote an article yesterday that I published on LinkedIn and Medium about the ethics of AI. And it's going to be extremely important. This is going to be one of the key pillars.
It's too late now.
It is not too late because we're in the beginning. People don't understand how big the wave is coming. If you see the tsunami now, we're just seeing the water going back before the tsunami arrives. We're still far away from
that. That's positive.
That's
optimist.
I am not an optimist in a way, is that because there are going to be obstacles for AI. Because just... What is it?
Legal one or...
Not only legal one. Let's take the simple example. 2 days ago, Samsung figured out that OpenAI had access to their new source code. Why? Because engineers at Samsung thought it was a good idea to ask ChatGPT to review their code. They didn't read the terms and condition. The code went to OpenAI. They have access to it. And I think they fired a few people because of that. So there are a lot of loopholes obstacles to AI that are coming in companies, in our everyday lives, et cetera, et cetera. The ethics are going to come. Regulation is going to come. It's like crypto. It was totally unregulated 10 years ago. They're trying to regulate it more and more. Exactly the same is going to happen for each and every technology. Regulation is going to come.
Yeah, but regulation usually comes when it's too late.
With AI, the impact is so big that they're already actually working around it. And that's why we saw, for example...
I saw in Italy, ChatGPT is forbidden.
Yeah, but you know, I wouldn't do it drastically because it's bad. You know, when you say to people, don't do it, this is when they want to do
and
it.
And you'll find it on
exactly. And you're going to find it. You just use a VPN. It's you know, it's stupid. It's like, yeah, don't do that. You go to a kid, he's like, don't do this.
Well, he want to do it. At least it's a sign to the world or a message to the world saying, guy, be careful.
Look at Elon Musk. He said a few days back, even though it's funny actually that he said it, let's put a stop there and see what's happening. No, I wouldn't say that. But I would say, guys, like, be careful and we should educate. I think education is key.
Yeah.
You know, the best regulation you can bring to someone is to educate that person on what is AI, how it could be used and how it could be harmful.
Is it integrated kind of a topic in schools, this? No.
No.
Nothing.
No, they prefer...
I mean, I was teaching for 12 years a federal diploma in Switzerland of marketing. Mm-hmm. We're a teaching thing that we're not using anymore for the last 10 years.
No.
Because the Confederation decides which topic...
I mean, but school, don't get me started on school. For me, the education system is failing for the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Everything moved at the speed of light except for education. We're getting the same education as our parents, as our grandparents, and even our great-great-parents.
Correct.
How is it possible? Yeah. How can we teach the same? Like, how didn't we make it evolve? How is today the school the same way?
Because the society, look at the companies, the employers, they put more importance on a stamp of a famous university rather than someone doing 3 months of really relevant online courses.
Absolutely.
They'll be way more relevant to the demand of the market.
That's why when I hire guys, I don't care about their diploma. Correct. I don't ask different. I was like, what's your experience?
So coming back to hiring and your company, let's talk a little bit about what you do. what do you do?
So it's
you do a lot of things. Yeah. Like your main activity.
Well, I'm a tech guy, so I'm the tech CEO. Yeah. So I have several companies. My first company that I launched here in Dubai in 2018, we created the YouTube for enterprise. So in today's world, we discuss and everything. We use video and audio and everything. And we arrive at the companies, emails, meetings, let's sit together, ask this one. It's so informal. So we're just formalizing it and we're going to allow actually employees to communicate with each other and share knowledge through video and audio, which should be actually a gold standard today, but it's not the case. So we launched Gisti that is doing that. My second big project is Kino, which is a blockchain. So basically we built...
Stop.
Yeah.
Can you explain what's a blockchain?
Oh,
very simple way and very fast way.
Sure. So blockchain, it's a chain of blocks. So basically it's a chain of blocks that contains information and that information can't be changed. Today a database, your phone, you put a photo, you can delete it. In a few seconds. On the blockchain, once it's inside, it can't be removed, which means that it can't be tampered with. And it's always going to be truth. Why? Because there is, a circle of people, of validators, that validate that information and don't allow it to be tampered with. And this is the power of blockchain.
Okay, you made it. Good job. You can continue.
So we built a blockchain, which is what we call a layer one blockchain. It's like Bitcoin or Ethereum that everybody spoke about. Just ours is, I would say, faster, lighter, and serves a purpose. Our purpose is that today, data in the Web3, in the crypto, is scattered. There are data everywhere. Crypto here, crypto there, in this blockchain, in this wallet, in this and that. So we're centralizing it into what we call the Kino Data Vault. So it's a vault that contains all the information that belongs to you in the Web3. You can add also your identity. You can have you can NFTize your real-life assets. Let's say you have a watch. You want to show that it's yours. Mm-hmm. You have ownership of it. You can create an NFT of it. Add information to it to show that it's yours.
Wow.
So it is the future. So we built something that is very innovative, and I we're just releasing actually new features. So if people are interested, we're gonna put the links anyway.
Of course, we'll have everything
to have a look at that. Yeah. But it's extremely interesting. I'm launching a business in AI, so we're building AI employees. So basically, for low value tasks. We know what low value task is.
Yeah.
You want somebody to help you actually just manage some specific basic task, write emails, maybe a few content here and there. So we created HireSmart. So for entrepreneurs, so if instead of hiring a personal assistant, which costs money, you're going to hire our AI virtual assistant that's going to do the same job faster and for 1/10 of the price.
And talking about that, I read that yesterday. There's a country here around, I think, around here that is doing the first TV journalist
Yeah.
Do you see that?
They implemented actually also, they implemented AI into Amica, which is a robot.
Yeah.
And it's now powered by ChatGPT. So you can talk to the robot because now you can do speech to text and you can do text to voice with ChatGPT. So I saw also a guy who hooked ChatGPT to Siri.
Yeah.
So now he speaks to ChatGPT through Siri.
Oh, I saw the tutorial to do it.
You can do it on your phones.
I saw.
Each and everyone actually can do it. It's great. It's very easy, straight to the point. You can go, just do it. And it's very important. And the last project that I wanted to talk about is that we're launching a business metaverse. So it's going to be called Metaverse Citizens. It's going to be here in the UAE, but to serve the region. So basically, it's hooked up with the Web3 studio. So the idea is to help companies, entrepreneurs, etc. to find, it's like the LinkedIn of the metaverse. Today, it doesn't exist. Yeah. Today, you go to the metaverse, it's fun, it's games, etc. You can have a bit of networking, but it's not made for
it. But it's still as trendy as as when Facebook announced the metaverse, because Facebook is like step back from that, huh? No? But
the problem is that Facebook, so the metaverse comes with Web3. Yeah. Web3 principle is that it's decentralized and we all own it together and we all validate the information together and we do everything together. Okay. Meta, Facebook, is the antithesis of that.
Yeah.
They own the data, we are their products, and they sell our data to big corporations.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely contradictory with the metaverse. So that's why it can't fly, it can't work. Some people will because it's easy, they know Meta, they know Facebook. But if you and when you understand what the metaverse is, what Web3 is, Meta is never going to make it.
Yeah, I think so. You're right. And you're based in Dubai?
I'm based in Dubai, yes.
Okay. Absolutely. You come from?
I'm originally from Morocco, but I'm French Moroccan. Lived in Paris for over a decade and came here like 7 years ago. And
7 years ago? Yeah. Wow, okay. Yeah. How did you see the country change? A lot?
It's very fun. Not only the country, but the region. The region changed with Saudi, the emergence of Saudi, with Qatar. But Dubai is just amazing. And we can see there is a big recession happening. I was in the US like a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I travel a lot for business purposes, etc. I think that being in the UAE is the best thing that happened to me in my life.
It's beautiful to hear that. You know what? I'm coming from Switzerland. And I always say UAE is like the new Switzerland. You feel so safe when you arrive here. Like nothing can happen
here. It is so safe. Yeah. It is. You know that in 7 years, I never closed the door of my apartment, even when I was not there. I don't even have the key to my apartment. I don't know where it is. I can tell you.
What would be the recommendation you give? That's a question I ask everyone. What would be like, you know, with all your experience, how old are you now?
I'm 34.
Okay. What recommendation you would give to people, you know, starting their career or thinking about starting a career, so doubting about should I do college or not? Should I go in practical direction? What would be the main recommendation you would share that you would love having at the time?
Sure. Find a mentor.
Find a mentor. Yes. Well, I already heard that once. Yeah.
Finding a mentor is very important. I can see it. For example, I have baby brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So one is not that baby. He's 4 years less than me. He's a doctor. So I helped him, but in a different way. Another one is 12 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And I am his mentor. So he calls me for everything. Like, and he's doing engineering and he's doing data science and AI and everything. But because of me.
Yeah.
Because, okay, what do I do? Where do I go? And my parents don't care. It's like, okay, take care of him.
Yeah.
He's your baby.
But a mentor could also be someone that you don't know.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't have to be because not everybody has a family member that says that. But a friend of the parents, etc. But having someone within, I would say, whether it's in the corporate world, whatever you're interested in, if you're doubting yourself, like, I don't know if I should be a doctor or you should be a pilot. Mm-hmm. Or I should be, you never know. I wanted to be a pilot
because
when I was young.
We have to take decisions pretty early, in the age. So
way too early.
Yeah.
Way too early. That's why having a mentor is, I think, key. You can have several mentors because I see myself and I see people as mini companies. A young person is
personal
a mini
branding.
Company.
Yeah.
And not only about personal branding, they need a board of advisors.
Yeah.
As a young,
see it like
you
this,
need a board of advisor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a structure because when you structure yourself since you're young and you have people helping you, because parents are not always the best advisors because they use emotions talking to you.
Yeah.
When you're talking about somebody who's external, he doesn't have this emotional part.
Yeah.
He's just factual.
Yeah.
Okay, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? So you do a SWOT matrix. So strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And when you do your throat.
Well, the problem is that you, at this age, you don't necessarily know your strength.
But
your
mentor will help you find out.
Yeah.
Because I can assess someone. Of course, I'm not the best at that, but still, I can assess someone. When I was discussing with my brother, I'm like, listen, what do you like? Okay, you like this, you like that, you like this. Okay, what are the opportunities that you have in the market? Yeah. AI is coming, data science, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let's do this, let's do that, let's try this. And then you see, everybody's allowed to fail.
Okay.
You can fail. Okay. Failure is the best thing you could do. So you try to get, you have to mix, I would say, decisions that are based on facts that you researched. Whether you're an entrepreneur, young entrepreneur, whether you're a kid.
So that means if the guy is like a 20 years old adult.
Adult, yeah.
Is totally passionate, freaking out with paintings and being creative, etc. But after the SWOT analysis, just like, don't go there. He shouldn't go.
Yeah, give it a try. I'm saying, like, you know, you can fail. You can lose a year or two in your life. What is it? It's nothing.
Yeah.
Especially when you're young. Maybe when you're getting into your 40s, et cetera, or your 50s, you're like, oh, maybe, I don't
know. Maybe be more careful. But
when you're like 18, 19, okay, you're allowed to fail. I had the choice. I was Moroccan champions of golf. I had a scholarship to go to the US to play golf and study a little bit. When I did the math, I'm like, listen, if I get injured or anything, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Because it is what it is. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let's not do that. Let's pursue my traditional career. And I'm very happy about this. I still play golf. I'm not as good as when I was 15, but it's fine.
Okay.
But I picked something and I stuck with it. The thing is that people are not resilient enough, I think. They have an idea. They have a passion. Sometimes their passion it doesn't match the market. So you have to be aware of that as well. And you have to do market research. You have to understand if there is a fit, if there is a need for whatever you want to do. If you want to be a painter, okay, check what's happening around you. Check if you are going to be a painter. You have to be first the best painter at your niche. Say, find the niche, get rich.
Right. So it means like, don't think only by yourself. Find a mentor, share your thoughts, then analyze your situation based on facts.
Yeah.
And try to, coming back to the first moment of the interview, your father or mom, I don't know who said, diversify your sources of revenue to enhance potential success.
Yeah.
Okay, we have so much more to talk. We'll do a second interview.
Absolutely, with great pleasure.
But Simo, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.